You can call me Reverend if you got. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, we got a little echo there. I want to get serious right off the bat here, because this last, just a couple of weeks ago, marked the 35th anniversary for a pretty traumatic event in my life, which ended up being a significant, I don't know if I'd call it a turning point, but an event that affected my outlook on life ever since. And what happened, it was back in July 17th of 1980. A good friend of mine who I discipled, he was, I was a young Christian, and I was really wanting to get out and make a difference, and I was working with a whole family, his brother, and there was other aunts and uncles and everything, and so I really knew this whole family well, and I was working with this one guy, in this case specifically, who had a really troubled life. You know, he got married when he was 16 and had children, and he was trying to make life work, and he was really struggling, and I was trying to do my best to help him. He became a believer, and but a lot of things were going wrong, and he was at his grandfather's house, where some of his uncles lived as well, and he ended up getting in an argument with his uncle, and not long before this, he had bought a 357 Magnum, and he was very depressed. Not a good combination, and I, you know, I remember even telling him, it's not really good to have that gun while you're this depressed. So anyway, he was at his grandfather's house, and he got in an argument with his uncle, and his uncle took a can of empty cans, you know, aluminum cans that you're saving, and he poured them over him while he was sitting down. He poured them over, Rocky is his name, and so he got up and went in the house and got his gun, and he pointed it at his uncle, and his uncle kind of was like, yeah, tough guy, go ahead, you know, you're a wimp, you're not going to shoot me. So he dared him, and he shot him right in the face, and then it was like a party. A lot of people were there, and so he turned, and people were scattering, but he started shooting at whoever, and you know, different people tell the story, and he shot one of his uncles as he's trying to escape, didn't get him, but then his grandfather came down the stairs, and he loved his grandfather, but I don't know what state of mind he was in at that point, but he shot him and killed him, and then he turned the gun on himself and killed himself. So this was a very traumatic event for me. Like I said, this was somebody, and I knew all of them. In fact, I'd shared the gospel with them, and Rocky was a believer at this point. And what was especially impactful for me was not just at 19 years old. That makes me 54 if you're doing the math. I know everybody does that, so I'll just help you. Is that he had said something not long before this that was very important to me. He told me in our discussions, you know, he said, this life is like a vapor. Next thing you know it, I'll be gone. And all that will matter is what I did for God. And how true that statement is. That is the fact of life. All that matters in this life is what we do for God. So, this had a huge impact on the way, ever since then, I've seen life, because And it hit me at such a young age. It just you know, was branded into my mind. And I kind of developed a mantra was that if it doesn't matter in 1,000 years, then why even do it? I mean, why do stuff that doesn't last? And this mantra, you know, there was some strange things that this caused. In fact, my mom's sitting down here. She's giggling because she can remember this. Because I was dead serious, by the way. You know, I didn't just say this. She wanted me to mow the lawn, and I said, well, is it going to matter in 1,000 years? And I wasn't just trying to get out of mowing the lawn. I was serious. What does it really matter? I had friends call me up to want to play basketball. I played a lot of basketball, and I'd say, no, I'm not playing. I don't play anymore. If you want a Bible study or something, we can do that. But I don't play. I'm not gonna waste my life like that. And so I realized that, you know, that I was young and immature and but there was a lot of truth. In fact, it was completely true. That if we do things that don't have 1,000-year impact, then really, what is the point in what we're doing? You know, Paul used that thinking to guide his life. He always had the eternal on his mind. And he writes about this a number of places. I want to go through 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the later part of 4 into 5. And just to give us a little context, look at 4, 8, and 9. And he's writing to the Corinthians, talking about the ministry and about the persecutions and the difficulty of living out the ministry. And he's saying, we are experiencing trouble on every side, but are not crushed. We're perplexed, but not driven to despair. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. We are knocked down, but not destroyed. The truth is that living for Christ comes at a cost. Paul experienced persecution where even his life was in danger. We don't experience that, but to live the Christian life, nevertheless, always comes at a cost. Whether you're sharing Christ with somebody and you're not sure how they're going to respond and they think that you're maybe a little kooky or you're a kind of a religious fanatic or whatever, that's a cost that holds us back, right? I mean, otherwise we'd be all out there 100 miles an hour, but that cost that we're afraid of paying is what slows us down a little bit. When we have somebody that we are dealing with and they do something that hurts our feelings, it's a cost to forgive them. It's a cost to love them. And yet that's what God is asking us to do. He's saying, I want you to serve me. I want you to love other people. I want you to love everybody, regardless of the cost. And so whether it's persecution or whether it's rejection for what we believe or just people thinking that we're kind of, you know, a little kooky, that hurts. And that's a cost that we have to determine whether or not we're going to pay. And it was a cost that Paul was saying he was willing to pay. Because the truth is that suffering is what God has asked us to do. And it is our way of loving God. We love others by being willing to endure for their benefit. That's what love is all about. That's how you demonstrate love. You demonstrate love by giving up something that you want or something you don't want in order to benefit the other person. And in this case, God's asked us to obey him, and whether it means persecution, whether it means hurt and loving anyway, all of those things, that is our way of saying, God, I'm going to do this because I love you. And I'm willing to obey you, and I'm willing to seek you, regardless
what it means to me. So we go on, I'm in the 16th verse. Therefore, and Paul's referring to the tribulations that he's going through, the persecutions. Therefore, we do not despair. See, he's looking up ahead. He's saying, I have this hope. We don't despair, but even if our physical body is wearing away, and he was going through persecutions, he's getting older. Even if this physical body is wearing away, our inner person is being renewed day by day. You know, even if life is hard, if we're going through persecutions, trials, if we're pushing on for a relationship with Christ to pursue loving others, to outreach, all of those things, if we are loving God with our life, we are experiencing being renewed day by day inwardly, regardless what we're going through on the outside. For our momentary light suffering is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Our momentary light suffering, it's producing a reward in heaven, is what he's saying. Far beyond all comparison. You know, it's so hard to imagine what that is, and I think that difficulty of imagining heaven is, you know, the obstacle that if we could see heaven, can you imagine how that would change us? If we could just see what it is exactly we're working for, what are we willing to be persecuted for? What are we willing to be called a kook for? If we could see that it was an eternal, and the eternal weight is the reward side. He's saying this reward, what you're going to get for this persecution, for loving people, for doing all these things for me, is going to be an eternal weight of glory that's far beyond comparison to anything you've ever experienced. It's going to be absolutely worth it. If we look at it more closely, for our momentary light suffering, and think about it, he's saying light suffering. It's interesting that he says light suffering when we know that Paul went through persecution for years. He's calling it light suffering. Produces for us this eternal weight of glory, far beyond comparison. I mean, look at it something like this. If you were investing just a penny, he's saying that you're going to reap this incredibly big reward on the other side just for that small investment. For us deciding, I'm willing to live for Christ, God's like, I'm going to reward you richly, richly for what you're doing. And if we look at those words, he's saying it's a momentary, again, it was years, but comparatively, it was just a moment. Light, have you read what Paul went through? I mean, he talks about how many times he was lashed 49 times, how many times he was shipwrecked and in jail. I mean, it was all these things that he went through, persecutions, far beyond anything that any of us have even begun to think about. And he's calling that light, momentary light suffering. If we do that on the other end, if we do that for God in our heart because we love God, on the other end, that is going to produce for us an eternal, instead of a momentary, an eternal weight of glory. So Paul is saying that this small amount that we live, even if it seems like a ton, even if it seems like, you know, overwhelmingly difficult to live for Christ, to love others that don't love us back, to be forgiving and all the, even if that seems so hard, he's like, the comparison is you can't even compare, it's far beyond comparison. God is just going to make it wonderful on this side beyond any comparison you could possibly ever make. Because we're not looking, when it says looking there, he's saying, the word mean in Greek, that it's more like a special attention, paying special attention to something. Because we're not paying special attention to what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. Because see, we're looking ahead. We're not looking around us. We're looking ahead. For what can be seen is temporary. But what cannot be seen is eternal. Our hope are in things that we cannot see, not in the things of this world that we can see. In fact, if you can see it, it's only temporary. That's what he's saying. There's nothing that you can see that is eternal. It's all just temporary, whether it's a nice car or whether it's a home. They're not going to be there in 1,000 years. Anything that you have, anything that you might be working for, all of those things are just simply temporary. And Paul is saying that we're to look for what you can't see. We're to look for our eternal reward, our eternal relationship with Jesus Christ, not in those things which are temporary, those things that we can see. For we know that if our earthly house, meaning this body, the tent, and he says it's a tent because it's just very temporary, you just put it up, okay? This body is a very temporary thing. Because the tent we live in is dismantled, meaning we die. For if we know that our body that dies, if we have a building from God. So this is just a temporary thing. It's like a tent. And if it's dismantled, instead we get this building from God that's not made with hands, meaning not assembled real quickly like a tent. That it is eternal in the heavens. So our hope, Paul is saying, is not this structure, which is just temporary, but this incredible, without hands building in heaven that's eternal. For in this earthly house, this temporary thing, we groan because we desire to put on heavenly dwelling. I mean, deep down, we want to be immortal. We want this eternal relationship with God. If indeed, and that if is not so much like iffy as it is like a since then, after we have put on our heavenly house, we won't be found naked. And I believe that Paul's referring there between that time that you leave your earthly body and you're moving on to your heavenly one, that in between then, you're naked without a place. So you go from this temple, or this, I shouldn't say this temple, this tent in this case, to this heavenly body or this building as he describes. Then in between then, we're going to be naked. In fact, he goes on to describe a little more. For we groan while we are in this tent. Since we're weighed down, Paul was weighed down by persecutions, not knowing if he was going to make it. He didn't know if he was going to be executed, and eventually, of course, he was. Because we do not want to be unclothed, meaning we don't want to die. You know, he didn't walk around just wanting to die, but clothed, meaning he wanted to have a place. So that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. And I believe what he was saying is, I'm hoping maybe Christ will come back so that I'm in this body and then I get my next one right on top of it because, boom, I go from this body to that body. But if I die, I'm going to be unclothed for a little bit. I'm going to be naked for a moment. That's what I think it's saying. It's a little confusing. But keep in mind through this whole thing that Paul is encouraging these Corinthians who are also going through persecutions by giving them a hope in the eternal. Because that is our hope. Our hope is an eternal hope. It's that knowing that we're going through persecutions, knowing that we're living for God when it's difficult, knowing that loving people and forgiving people and witnessing and all of the things that God has asked us to do is difficult, that no matter how it feels and no matter how rough it is, look to the eternal where we're going to have a heavenly body, where we're going to live forever, and where the rewards that we're going to get for how we live are going to be beyond comparison to anything that we go through. Now, the one who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us a spirit as a down payment, as it says in Ephesians, that when we accept Christ, the Spirit comes into our life. And that is our down payment. That is what we know. We resonate with that Spirit, which resonates in our mind that, yes, I am going to be spending eternity with God. And that is what we have that helps us to trust, to believe that indeed my life and whatever I might go through might pass away, but I have an eternity in heaven, and that spirit that dwells within me is that down payment, is that promise inside my heart that tells me that that's my future. Therefore, we are always full of courage. We're full of courage because we have such a great hope. And we know that as long as we are alive here on earth, we are absent from the Lord, which gives me more courage because it's like, not only is that my hope to be with God and to get those rewards, but as long as I'm here, I'm actually not where I want to be, which should give me even more courage that I am going to live my life loving God, going through the persecutions, going through the difficulties of living the Christian life, being possibly looked down upon and scorned for people thinking we're just kind of kooky, because we know that we're going to be with God forever and ever, and that provides me courage to live this life for God, even though it's a difficult life to live, because we do it by faith, not by sight. It is by our trusting that our eternity is with Jesus Christ and that we are going to be rewarded for the way that we live that gives us the courage to move forward and to continue. We do that by not looking around. And that word is to look at the external things. By not being focused on that house, by not being focused on the car or the career or all of those things that distract us from the truth that we have an eternity in heaven to look for, that we have rewards that we are working towards, that we get to be with our Savior who loves us. We do that by trusting God, not by looking around at this world, which is constantly distracting us. I mean, the truth that we have, it's just crazy how difficult it is. And yet if we trust it, how that can allow us to walk through this life being persecuted because we know what's coming. You know, some people use this verse to try to get what they want in this temporary world, thinking that if I just have faith, God will give me that job. If I just have faith. But we know from this context, that's really not what Paul's talking about. He's not saying that. He's not saying that at all. What he's saying is that we walk through the difficulties of this life because we know what we have in eternity. That's what he's talking about here. Thus, we are full of courage. Again, this gives us courage, and we would prefer to be away from the body. I prefer to be with God right now and at home with the Lord. But we have a job to do here. We have been placed here by God to love Him. And the way He's asked us to love Him is to obey Him. He's asked us to tell others about Him. He's asked us to love people who don't love us back, to forgive people who have offended us. He has asked us to do all sorts of things because we love Him. So even though we'd rather be in heaven, He said, no, I don't want you to go. I want you to live for me here, to go through whatever it is you need to go through as a demonstration of your trust and love and obedience for me. So that whether we are alive or away, we make it our ambition to please Him. So whether we're walking this earth still, or we're actually to that point, that judgment time where we're going to receive that which we did in the body, either way, we want to please God. For we must all, every single one of us, appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may be paid back according to what he has done while in the body, whether good or evil. You know, in this day and age, for whatever reason, you know, Christianity goes through fads, and it's not real popular to talk about living for God with rewards on our mind. It used to be. It's not right now. It will be probably in the future, but that's where we're at. But you know what? Either way, this is Scripture. This is the way it is. God is saying, through Paul, that this is the way it is, and that wanting to receive a reward from God is a good thing, and that we have reason to fight for that, because we are going to appear before God, before that judgment seat of Christ, and be rewarded for the life that we live. So I wanted to give a quick illustration, and I need a volunteer. Anybody willing to volunteer? Come on up. And what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to run this out towards the front door, and I'll try to keep up with you. Keep going. No, that's fine. Keep going. I don't know how we're going to. It's like water skiing or something. Keep going. Luckily, there we go. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. There you go. I got you now. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Go, 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 go. All right. There. Keep going. Oh, yeah. Keep going. Out to the front door. All the way out there. Just keep going. Keep going. I think we can make it all the way to the front. Keep going. Go, go, go. Keep going. Oh, no. All right. Okay, you can stop. Okay, okay. Come on back. Whoa! Come on back. All right, leave the cord out there, or the rope. Okay, so this rope, there we go. This rope represents your life. And imagine that that rope goes on forever and ever and ever, eternity. Because the fact is, we live for eternity. And imagine that this part of the rope is our life here on earth. So we only get, you know, rarely over 100, rarely even over 90. We get, like, usually 70, 80 years, somewhere in there. That is our life. And then eternity goes on and on and on and on and on. And we only get to do this once. And then forever, we're here. You know, I think back to my friend that died back in 1980. You know, we were only 19 at the time. His life has been gone much, much longer than he lived. 35 years, he only lived 19. He's been dead. He's in this realm here forever and ever and ever. And what we do here impacts, God is saying in this passage, what happens here forever and ever and ever. And yet we are so consumed by this. How much time do we think about this? We think about this. And we, you know, we may in here work and work and work trying to save up for this little time right here. We'll spend years, we'll work overtime, you know, we'll do all these things here to just for that little time right there. How much of our life are we wasting trying to make this part good or wasting it because we don't have the foresight to look at all of this just because we don't really trust that it's all there, I guess. It's crazy when you think about our eternity. It's crazy when we think about how we're living this life when we know that how we live today affects forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. That if we're willing to suffer persecution, if we're willing to be called kooks, if we're willing to love people that despitefully use us, if we do all that, God is saying that forever and ever, I am going to reward you beyond any comparison. It's crazy. You know, some people, there's certain things that I've done where they say, you know, if you're not really thinking about this, little, you're kind of stupid. And I'm thinking in my mind, no, you're stupid. Because you're not thinking about all of this. All you're thinking is that it all comes down to you work for that. That's nuts. It's crazy the way we live, not considering the eternity. We are going to be living forever, and the way we live here affects that eternity. So I want to just then close with this question for us to think about. How are we using our resources, our life, to invest in the eternity? Or are we just simply investing in the temporary? What are we doing with our time? When we have time, are we reaching out to others? Are we wanting to do some sort of ministry? Are we wanting to help the poor? Are we wanting to do things of that nature? Or are we just wanting to get away? I mean, how many more movies do we need to watch? They don't have eternal value. They're temporary. Or our relationships. You know, somebody hurts our feelings and we hold a grudge. It's hard to forgive when we're hurt. But God is saying that not only for the love of that other person, which is certainly the right thing to do, but also what generates that love for the other person when it's difficult is God. And you know what? He's saying, turn to me and love me. And I'm asking you out of your love for me, because I care about that person, by the way, I want you to love that person even though you've been hurt. And by the way, by doing that, you are going to be rewarded immensely for obeying me. Are we willing to do that? The reward will last forever and ever and ever. Or our money. How are we spending our money? Or how much money do we have to get? How much time do we have to spend making that money? And then when we do have that money, what are we deciding to do with it? We have an extra $1,000, tax return or something. What are we thinking? Are we at that point, we get that $1,000, thinking, you know, how can I invest this $1,000 in such a way that I am thinking about that date when I face God and the return on my investment? When I face God, I want Him to say, my good and faithful servant, thank you for choosing to spend your money for me. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Father, I pray that we will believe, that deep down we will trust what we know is true, and that is that we have an eternity to spend with you. I trust that we'll have the courage to act upon that belief, Lord. That we'll have the courage to tell others about you, even if they think we're kooks. That we'll be able to take the criticism, that we'll be able to, because of our faith in you, because we know that you are going to reward us richly, because we want you to be pleased with us, Lord. That we would be willing to endure whatever comes our way, that we would be able to endure persecution, that we would be able to endure scorn. We would be able to do all of these things, Lord, because of our faith in our relationship with you and our desire to live with you forever and ever, with you being pleased with the decisions and the actions that we made while we are here. Help us with that, Lord. And if you're here this morning and you've actually never even begun the process because you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you can start that relationship right now. You can call upon God, and the Bible says that if you put your faith that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, down to the earth, died on the cross to shed his blood, that by putting your faith that his blood would cover your sins, and by covering your sins, it would provide you forgiveness. It would allow you to spend an eternity with God, which then opens the door for living with him, opens the door for serving him and obeying him and working for these rewards. And so if you're in that place where you have come to that decision this morning, where you're like, I want a relationship with you, God, then pray with me. Dear Father, I trust you. I trust that you indeed did send your Son, Jesus Christ, and I ask for forgiveness. I want to live for you, Lord. I believe in you. And we ask these things in your name. Amen.